Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a teaching that I've entitled Hardness of Heart. This is a teaching that God gave me. It's a truth that God revealed to me and applied to my life about 25 or 30 years ago. And I tell you, it has made a huge difference in the way I view things and the way I conduct my life. And I believe it's a perfect complement to a lot of the teaching that I've been doing about the grace of God. I talk so much about God loves us independent of our performance that sometimes people think, well, then therefore it doesn't matter if we seek the Lord, if we pray, if we study, if we go to X-rated movies or whatever. God's love is unconditional. It is true that God loves us unconditionally, but your heart becomes hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews chapter 3. So, it's not that God changes His heart towards you if you aren't living a holy life, but if you aren't living a holy life, your heart will become hardened towards God. And so this is really a perfect complement to all of the teaching that I do on the grace of God. This week, I just have been trying to establish that as your heart goes, that's the way that your life goes. Most people don't understand this, and so they try and get change externally. They are just praying that God will change this person, change their job, change their lottery, let them win the lottery, that they'll just be supernaturally healed or whatever. But if you would just start on the heart level, and if God could touch your heart, then your body will be healed, your finances will improve, your relationships will improve. So I talked about that. I talked about how having a hardened heart isn't just for people who hate God. But in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, the scripture there says that the disciples' heart was hardened, and that's why they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered when they saw Jesus walking on the water. And one of the points that I've tried to make is that for you to benefit from this teaching on hardness of heart, you have to, first of all, recognize that it's a problem that all of us have, not just God haters. You could be a person that loves God, but the word hardened, as defined in the dictionary and applied to your heart, literally means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding. And this is the way, I guarantee you, every person watching this program has some area of your life where you are cold or insensitive or unfeeling or unyielding towards God. That's what the Bible calls having a hardened heart. Let's look in Mark chapter 8. This is a second instance where Jesus fed a multitude of people with a very small amount of food. And after He got through doing that, in Mark chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And He charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod.'" Now, as you read this in one of the other gospel accounts, it goes on to say that He was clearly talking about the doctrine. He was making a comparison that false doctrine or traditions and doctrine of man is similar to physical leaven that you put in bread. You just put a tiny bit in there and it grows and multiplies and it affects the entire loaf. So He was making an analogy. But instead of having any spiritual discernment and perception, they just thought that He was talking about bread. And so it says in the 16th verse, "They reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' And in verse 17, 'When Jesus knew it, He said unto them, 'Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?'" You know, Jesus was trying to convey a spiritual truth, just using a physical analogy, and they totally missed it. You know, I've certainly not got the perspective of God on this, but some of the glimpses that I've had through Scripture, to me, it seems like it would be hard for God to really communicate things to us because we are just so dull in our understanding. We are so carnal. We think of things in such earthly terms that it's hard for God to speak in ways to get spiritual truths across to carnal beings. And this is exactly what we see happening with Jesus and His disciples. He was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes, and yet they thought he was talking about bread. And so here's his response. He says, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Now, there's going to be about five things listed here. And what I use these verses for is to show basically the characteristics of a hardened heart. One of the points I'm trying to get across is that you don't have to be a God hater. You don't have to be in rebellion towards God to have a hardened heart. You could be a person who loves God, a very sweet, kind person, and still be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding towards God in some area of your life. So here's what Jesus was saying and using these words to describe a person with a hardened heart. He said, "Perceive ye not yet." So you could say it this way. An inability to perceive spiritual things is an indication that you have a hardened heart. Now, just think about this. Have you ever been in a church service where somebody is preaching a message and everybody around you is just saying, "Oh man, it's changed my life. They got so much out of it." And you're sitting there and you couldn't even tell what the subject was. Now, there could be a couple of causes for that. Maybe the other people are just religious and they're responding to the style of the speaker and they're just getting into the emotion of it, but there was no substance. But I bet you that with all of us, there's been times that we have just been spiritually dull and haven't been able to perceive when God is speaking to us, when truth is coming our way. For instance, I bet you every person can relate to this, that sometime or another you've had to make a decision. You've prayed and asked God for wisdom, and you kind of felt drawn to do something, you know, maybe go to this direction, but logic and everybody else, all wisdom, told you you should make this decision. So you go with the flow, you go with what people are telling you to do. It falls apart. Turns out it was totally wrong. And as soon as you do that, you look back and you say, "I knew God was speaking to me, but you just didn't perceive it. You heard it, but it didn't penetrate." I bet you every person here has done that. I certainly have. You know what? That's an indication of a hardened heart. You can hear, but you can't hear. You just aren't able to perceive. You know God is speaking something to you, but you don't know exactly what it is. It's just confusion. It's not clear. You know what? If that's the way that you are in your relationship with God, then according to what Jesus is saying right here, you have a hardened heart. The next thing he says, neither understand. You know, maybe you can actually have some knowledge, like say, for instance, you know the scriptures that by his stripes you are healed. And you know that truth. You have a revelation that God wants you well. But you don't understand how healing works. You don't understand what's your part. What is God's part? How should I respond? Should I go to the doctor? Shouldn't I go to the doctor? Should I take this treatment? Should I say this? You have some truth, but you don't have the understanding to put it to practice. You know, I could illustrate this by talking about a car. You know, most of us use a car and you get in and drive it, but most of us, our understanding is very limited. It's like you put the key in, you turn it and start it. You know how to shift the gears. You know how to maybe put gas in the tank and put air in the tires. But if anything was to happen, you know what? You don't have enough understanding of the car to fix it. You have to take it to someone else who really understands how that car works. And most of us in our Christian life are like that. We may have gotten born again. We may have some things going, but when there's a problem, we don't know how to fix it. There isn't the understanding. Well, the scripture says, Jesus said right here, that that's an indication of a hardened heart. Then in the next verse, verse 18, he continues and he says, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not." Again, he's not talking about our physical eyes and the ears on our head. You know, there's a number of times in scriptures that Jesus would say things like, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And every single person in that crowd had physical ears on their head. He wasn't talking about these ears. What he was doing was talking about being able to hear with your heart. And this is what he's referring to. He says, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not." An inability to hear God in your heart, an inability to see by faith, is a characteristic of a hardened heart. You know, I'm going to come back to this list because there's other things, but let me turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 20, he says, "My son, attend to my words." Attend to my words means that you give attendance. You pay attention. You're focused on his words. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Now, what's this talking about when it says incline your ear? Is that talking about tilting your head at a certain angle? No, this isn't. This is talking about the ears of your heart. Your ear, your hearing can be tuned to hear God. Boy, now I'm going to say some things right here that are profound, but they're so simple that some of you might miss the truth of this. So I'm asking you to really pay attention. Ask God to help you with this. But in the same way that wherever you are right now, there are television signals, and you've got your television set tuned to this network or to this station, and you're picking up this program. Did you know that there's other television stations around? But see, you are tuned into this one. There are all kinds of signals around you, television signals, radio signals, CB signals, and things like this. And you could tune a receiver and pick them up. Well, in the same way, God is always broadcasting. God is always there speaking, but we aren't tuned in. Our ear isn't inclined unto His saying. Most of us are so dominated by the physical world and by the unbelief and the doubt and the negativism that is spoken by this world that it is what's dominating us. It's the number one thing that we hear and our heart absorbs. But God is here speaking constantly, and we can tune our hearing to this. You know, even in the natural, you can see an illustration of this, and if you can understand it in the natural, then I think it'll help you to receive it in the spiritual. But you can tune your physical hearing to where you tune out certain things and tune in other things. For instance, when I was in the military, I was in Vietnam. We were on a fire support base where we provided fire support for the troops that were out in the field. And so we had mortars and 55 caliber quad 50s mounted on our hill, a recoilless backfire 105 or 155. I forget all of the names. And anyway, we had all of these explosions just going off constantly. There were always incoming and outgoing rounds. But you know what? You get used to that. I remember the very first night that I landed in Vietnam, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we had some things that they had us do. We laid down about 3:30 or something, and I was in this bunk, and I heard these explosions going off in my bed. I was on one of these spring bunks, and my bed was bouncing with these explosions. They were close enough that I could feel the vibration of those incoming rounds that were hitting there. And I was laying in that bunk, and did you know that it just dawned on me that this isn't practice anymore? Somebody is shooting rockets over there, mortars at us, trying to kill us, and it was close enough that my bed was shaking with those. You know what? I didn't sleep very much that first night. But after a while, you get to where it's just normal. There was always explosions going off. On our hill, they had what they called a mad minute, is what they called it. And of course, we had a very small emplacement on the top of a mountain, and there was 120 men on this mountaintop, and we had a very small perimeter, and outside of the perimeter, we had claymore mines, booby traps, all kinds of things to defend our position, and you would pull bunker guard. They had bunkers scattered around the perimeter, and 1 hour, 1 minute out of every hour during the night, they had what they called a mad minute. And for 1 minute, you just took your M16 and you shot your weapons down outside of the perimeter. You threw hand grenades. You shot grenade launchers. And you just, all of these explosions. And the logic behind it was that if the Vietnamese were trying to come up the hill and overrun your position, you know, you just 1 minute out of every hour, you just obliterated anything that was outside of the perimeter. And it was a way that we pulled bunker guard. So because of that, there was always explosions. I mean, there was constant. 1 minute of every hour, there must have been 500 explosions. And then there was outgoing fire as we needed to support the troops that were in the field, etc. So because of this, what I'm saying is, did you know what? It got to where I could sleep through all of these explosions, through all of this stuff. I tuned my hearing, my physical hearing, to where I could sleep through all of this. We actually had an instance where UE Cobra asked for grid coordinates to practice firing its minigun, 55 caliber rounds, or 50 caliber rounds. And they got the wrong grid coordinates, and they came right through our hill, and I was in my bunker. I built this bunker. It had a foot of timber on it and a foot of dirt on top of that. So 2 foot, 1 foot of dirt, 1 foot of timber, and those 55 caliber rounds went right through there and right through the flooring, through ammo boxes that we had as a floor, and I dug down into the ground trying to find the round, never did find it. That's how powerful that was. And this thing, I was on a cot, and that minigun came right beside my cot, probably a foot from where I sleep, and just right down and right through our bunker. And you know what? When I got up in the morning, I was a chaplain's assistant, and I built this bunker, and the chaplain and I both lived in there. The chaplain was just in there nervous and scared, and I asked him what was going on, and he said, well, it was that attack last night. And I said, what attack? I slept through the whole thing. I didn't hear a single thing. And when those guns go off, I mean, it was loud. I also had, we had a bunker on our hill that was called Bunker Number 1, and it was like an outpost. It was about 100 or 200 yards down the hill from the rest of the perimeter, and so it was a pretty dangerous position. In a sense, you were out in enemy territory. And I was pulling bunker guard on Bunker Number 1. There was 4 guys on bunker guard. We each had a 4-hour shift. And I had the first bunker guard. 2 of the guys went down inside and went to bed, waiting for their turn to do bunker duty. And I was up on top, and there was a guy next to me. I found out later he was a Puerto Rican. He was drafted and sent to Vietnam. He didn't speak any English. So I tried to make conversation with him, and I said, what's your name? And he said, 40 days. And I said, have you been in country 40 days? And he said, 40 days. And I said, is that how long you've got to go? And he said, 40 days. That's all he could say. So anyway, I couldn't talk to this guy, so I just pulled my bunker guard. He sat right next to me. Then I laid down on top of the bunker and went to sleep. And you're supposed to stay there until 6 in the morning. I woke up about 5 or 5:30 or something, and nobody was there. I got down inside of the bunker, and the 2 guys in the bottom were gone. Nobody was there. You were supposed to stay till 6, so I just stayed till 6. And when the sun came up, I started back up the hill. And the chaplain came and met me and says, are you all right? Did you get hurt? And I said, I'm fine. What happened? And it turned out that this Puerto Rican guy was crazy. And when he got his bunker guard, he shot like, 200 or 300 worth of M79 grenades that he had. He shot those off. He threw all of the hand grenades, probably 300 hand grenades. He shot all of his M16 rounds down the hill, up the hill towards the U.S. troops. And he shot off 5 Claymore mines, which if any of you have ever been around a Claymore mine, those things are deafening. And when they go off, they'll bounce you about 6 or 7 inches off of the ground. And you know what? I slept through the whole thing. I never heard a thing. My point is, see, you can tune your hearing. Because those sounds were normal to me, I tuned those out. But I built this bunker. And if somebody would have walked into our bunker, the door creaked when you opened it. It had a spring on it, and you could hear that spring creak. I could be sound asleep, and if somebody just opened that bunker door and I heard that spring, or if somebody would have stepped on an ammo box that we had for flooring and you could hear that wood, you know, kind of sag and make a sound, instantly I'd be awake like that, because I hadn't desensitized myself to that sound. That was an abnormal sound. That would have meant somebody was sneaking into my bunker. And I mean, I'd wake up at the little tiny squeak of a hinge, and yet I'd sleep through a mortar attack. See, that's what this is talking about. You can incline your hearing. Every one of you have done this. Some of you live on a busy city street, or you live in the flight path of an airport. And, you know, over a period of time, you can just tune that out and sleep right through, ambulances going up and down the road or a plane landing. You can sleep through the whole thing. But if your baby was to cough or to cry instantly, you're awake like that. You know what that is? That's tuning your hearing. That's inclining your hearing. You can desensitize yourself to what you don't want to hear. And you can sensitize yourself so that you just pick up on the slightest thing. See, a positive example of this is that I used to pour cement for a living. And as a result, I can walk into a place that has carpet on the floor. And to this day, I can walk on carpet and tell you whether that cement job underneath is good or not, whether there's dips in it, whether there's rough spots on it, because I did that for years. And it's just what I did all day, every day. And as a result, I'm just in tune to that. And I don't even think about it. I had a friend of mine, Joe Nay, that he used to sell paper for a living. And he would get the mail, and I'd be sitting in the back seat, and he'd hand me the mail. And he says, take that piece of paper out of there. And he says, let me feel it. And he would just feel of it. He wouldn't even be looking at it. He'd just touch it and feel it. And he'd say, that paper was made by such and such company. It's got a certain watermark on it. It's this pound weight. And then we'd hold it up to the light, and you could see their watermark, and it'd tell you the company, and it'd tell you the pound. And he was right, and he could just feel it. Did you know he didn't have senses that were different or better than mine? It was just that he had inclined his senses. He had focused on this so much that he became sensitive to it. Now, I could have done that, but I never was a paper salesman, and so to this day, I still can't do that. Another friend of mine, we were driving just a couple of days ago, and I mean, this guy can see a pheasant at 1,000 yards. It's amazing. He just pointed out pheasant after pheasant after pheasant. He could see them. And you know the reason? When he was a kid, that's what he ate. He had to go hunt, and he got pheasants every day, and that's what he ate. And to this day, he's now 60 years old. He can see a pheasant when nobody else can see a pheasant. He hasn't got better eyes than anybody else. He has sensitized himself towards that. The point that I'm making is, even in the physical realm, with our eyes and with our ears, we can tune them to where we pick up on things that other people don't pick up on. That's in the natural realm. Well, in the spiritual realm, you can do the same thing. And this is what Jesus was speaking of over in Mark chapter 8, where he says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. In the spiritual realm, every one of us, every person watching this program, especially those of you who've been born again and have become a new creature, you have the ability to hear God's voice. You have the ability to see by faith. You have that potential. But most of us are hardened towards it, cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. We aren't sensitive to the things of God because we are so occupied and dominated by the natural senses that we haven't let our spiritual senses function. That's what the Bible is calling hardness of heart. Jesus was saying, can you not perceive? That's an indication that you have a hardened heart. Can you not understand? That's an indication that you have a hardened heart. Do you have eyes but you can't see? That's an indication that you have a hardened heart. Do you have ears but you can't hear God? That's an indication of a hardened heart. It's not an indication that God isn't speaking. It's an indication that you're hard of hearing. Your heart has become hardened. You have not inclined your ear unto His sayings. It's a process. I know that some of you, by me saying these things, may feel like, well, boy, you're just pointing out what's wrong with me. Before you can fix the problem, you've got to acknowledge that the problem is with you. It's our heart. It's not God that's not speaking. It's not God that isn't desiring that you prosper. It's the hardness of our heart that has separated us from these things of God. And I tell you, this series, I believe, is going to make a huge difference in your life. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this teaching, all of the materials, the book that I have. And so please take advantage of it. Please call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Hardness of Heart is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or, if you prefer, the Hardness of Heart teaching series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. The first audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Crisis, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 10th through the 12th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days March 9th through the 11th. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 31st through April 2nd, and in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 14th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.
I had been looking for the more in my life, and someone had given me a teaching tape of Andrew's and had shared another church with me who is also a Charis Bible College affiliate up in Fort Collins. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes and seeing that Andrew had the more, was teaching the more that Jesus said we would be doing the greater, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. So I got every tape that I could, and it was just feeding my belief and starving my unbelief with the Word of God, with Andrew's teachings. I emailed Andrew. He prayed for me just a simple prayer, commanding the cancer to leave my body. I went in for the surgery. I was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. The doctors called me the very next day, which is unusual, and said, "Connie, we don't know what happened. All the cancer was gone." Of course, my husband and I rejoiced, and I said, "I know what happened." Cancer was the big sickness that came upon me, but not bigger than a cold for me anymore.